Anyone else? Well, Lord.
Half a day, 5 days a week.
So he's policing then. I guess you all heard of yesterday, they've announced today the murders at the Jewish delicatessen. They found out that it's 99% sure that it's terrorism. And evidently an undercover cop was killed when people went into the Jewish, kosher Jewish, you need to understand the word kosher in front of it, which means those are the hardliners, delicatessen. And he was evidently shot quite early. They called the police squad. They went in with something like a half a tank or something and went forward, knocked the walls down. The perpetrators came in to try to shoot through them, and they shot and killed them. But three bystanders were killed. All right, folks, if you're in the middle of a gunfight, I think the thing to do is either duck, get behind a tree, or run. And run is probably the least best. I don't know, but just make yourself not there in the way. But that's watching it. Well, the same thing happened to that UPS truck last week. Miss Joy. I don't know. It was in New Jersey. So I do not know if that was a gun-free zone or not. I'm sure we'll hear a lot about it. It was evidently in a small community because, as I said, it's the first officer, I understood, the first officer ever killed or the first officer in many years that had been killed serving there. So I don't know. But
New Jersey,
a gun-free zone? New Jersey City, that's exactly right.
Because that's where my father was born.
You know about that then. New Jersey City. Well, Chicago's a gun-free zone. We pretty much know what goes on there.
That's why we're here.
School right across the street that had shot in the windows, and all the kids were in there.
Doing that hurricane thing. Get on the ground and lay flat. Yeah, it's amazing. Satan's alive and working a lot, working overtime. Chuck? In a Jewish restaurant? In a Jewish deli? Well, this guy was undercover, so he may not have had a vest on. Yeah. It is rather... They got a green button on it. Chuck, have I got a green button on it? He said, is it working? Not working, Chuck? You can hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Exactly right. Let me read something I picked up the other day I wanted to share with you. If I can find where it started. We're running down towards a final and mournful catastrophe. Political excitement was at its height. The worst passions swayed the various parties. The most fatal counsels, advice, prevailed. It was a person who was going to be asked now to stand in the way over which the nation was rushing headlong into destruction. Make a heroic effort to arrest the destruction and turn it back. To fail and be compelled to step to one side and see one's own people who you love with tenderness of a woman plunge over the precipices, I think that means tall cliffs, into a wide, weltering ruin. Who are they talking about? Jeremiah. What we see in the news today is not new. Jeremiah first became a prophet. Well, let's go back and refresh a little bit. He's called the prophet with a broken heart. A man who was very intense. He's described as God's crybaby. As a compliment, now, no less. He said he's a man of tears most of the time. God raised this man to have a mother's heart, a trembling voice, and tear-filled eyes to deliver a harsh message of judgment. The message he gave broke his own heart. Jeremiah was a great man of God, but he was chosen to deliver, this soft person was chosen to deliver a very tough message. One of tender and compassion. Guys, it's okay to cry. Except when your ball team loses and you got to stand above that. or get fired. The writer here goes on to say, it is difficult to conceive any situation more painful than that of a great man condemned to watch the lingering agony of an exhausted country, to tend it during fits of superfraction, breaking up, raving which preceded the disillusion, and see the symptoms of vitality disappear one by one. He had been the prophet beginning at 626, near the end of Josiah's reign, and Josiah was a good king, until Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Jerusalem and conquered Israel. And he spent his entire time warning and warning and warning with predictions of what's going to happen. He had told the people, God had sent him to tell the people what's going to happen. He was born a priest just north of Jerusalem. He was a prophet. Jeremiah 1:5 will tell us in a minute. He was a prophet before he was born. He was called to prophetic office when he was very, very young. He was commissioned of God to be a prophet. He began his ministry during the reign of King Josiah. And he was a mourner at the king's funeral. He was forbidden to marry because of the terrible times in which he lived. Who else do we know that said it's best not to marry? Who? Paul. Best not to marry due to the impending distraction, destruction that's going to happen. Well, God didn't want him to get married because he wanted him to concentrate just on what he was doing and what was going on to the times, the terrible times. He never made a convert. His job wasn't to recruit followers. His job was to go back and try to scare the Jews back into service to God. He was Elmer Gantry. You remember the movie Elmer Gantry? Was that Burt Reynolds, maybe?
Burt Lancaster.
Well, I knew it was Burt somebody, Burt B. Wax or something. Just a strong, hard line, here's what's going to happen. That's how Billy Graham made his initial start in his campaigns and his crusades in California. Doom and destruction is about to come unless we change our way. Well, that's exactly what he was going to do. He said his message broke his own heart. And here's one of the best ones. He wanted to resign the job. God told him, I'll hold on to your resignation for a few minutes. You'll come back and want the job back. So I guess if God picks you for a job, and he's trained you for a job, and he's purposed you for a job, you probably might as well take the job. Could I mention the name maybe Jonah? See how that went when he decided not to do it. He saw the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity. He was permitted to remain in the land by the captive Babylonian forces. They didn't take him to Babylon. First of all, he was over 70 years old with the captivity, and that walk may very well have killed him. But I don't think that they would have wanted somebody that was that fire of a strong with a fire breather there preaching against Babylon, even though he had told his people 126 times that Babylon would destroy and would be involved in Jerusalem. Told them and told them and told them. They never did believe. This guy says, we've gone to the moon. We've produced atom bombs. Though we're a strong nation within the same corruption that actually carries us down to dismemberment and disaster, revolution may be just around the corner. And if you watch any news show, you're going to think, this could not always be a good result. He was not as mighty as Elijah, not as eloquent as Isaiah, not as sympathetic as Ezekiel. He was timid, shrieking, consciousness of his helplessness, yearning for sympathy and love, and that he will never, ever know. He brought the word of God to a corrupt and degenerate age. What a good prediction. But doesn't it sound familiar of what's going on in our own times? If you remember back in Matthew 16:16, Jesus turns to the apostles and says, who do men say that I am? The answer was, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, meaning Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So he's that well remembered among the people that he was a warner. Well, Jesus was a little bit of all three of them and a whole lot more. Anything else you need to know? Mary Jeremiah was an unwelcome messenger, and the people rejected it. He was called a traitor because he said they'll have to yield to Babylon. And he still did not stop his task. Now here's a word. We always call this a Baptist term. Some of you have been Baptist in the past. He was called he used the word backslider 13 times, accusing Israel of backsliding into the old pagan ways. Chapter 1 of Jeremiah reads like this. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hakil, one of the priests of Anath, in the territory of Benjamin. So that's the territory that Saul was from. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Anashiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month, 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Joash, of Judah. And to the people of Jerusalem went into exile. So he's the last of the original prophets that was before Jerusalem. Is it cold or is it me? I got on long-legged breeches. Jess back there got no ice on his nose. Took the sweater off of Denise. The word of the Lord came saying to me before I knew, verse 5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That line right there is one of the lines that we spoke about either last week or 2 weeks ago that is used in the documentation for the Christians who are against abortion. Because God knew you before you were born, before you were formed, and he has a plan for you. And all we've got to do is follow through in that plan. He said, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, not just to Israel, but to all those who were around was his task. Some people never move more than, none of you this applies to. Where am I at?
You were in chapter 2 last week.
I was backing up because Janet said she didn't know what we were doing. The word of the Lord came to me in chapter 2, verse 1. Go and proclaim to the hearing of Jerusalem. I'm trying to set y'all up, but it's okay. Proclaim to the hearing of Jerusalem. I remember the devotion of your youth. Now, he's not talking about any one individual's youth. He's talking about the youth of the nation of Israel. When they were young, when they were formed, when they came over, when they captured Jericho and all the other cities and made Israel into a great nation. You were that way. Don't want to show hands unless you particularly want to. But can you remember something you were really zealous for, you're really excited about when you're 18, 20, 15, 18, 20, 25? Then now you say, is that really such a big deal anymore? That we sort of realize that, you know, that we have a term in Kentucky called, if it's not a matter of salvation, it doesn't matter. And we tend to say the things that were so important back then maybe aren't anymore. It's that way. He said, I knew you in your youth. How has a bride, you love me and follow me through the desert? Remember what it's the church called a bride, of course, in the last two chapters of Revelation. The church adorned as a bride, beautifully adorned as a bride, meaning Jesus. So the word bride is a thought in there again with God. Israel was, I emphasize it, holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty. Disaster overtook them, declared the Lord. We can see time and time again with the travels of the people of Israel, even when they were in the desert, the Sinai desert, any time that somebody attacked them, they wreaked havoc. Babylon fell, will fall because of this. And all the travel, Jericho fell when Israel attacked them. And Ai, who had defeated Jerusalem in a fight because somebody had stolen a robe and some jewelry, came back, and when those were punished and put to death by the whole congregation, they went back and they destroyed Ai. So he says, those who got in your way, they've been devoured. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all the clans of your house of Israel. Means clan, we've gotten with that word with the Ku Klux Klan. Means something bad. But in the time of the ancients, clan meant family. Anybody here Scottish at all? Raise your hand. You're Scottish. Aren't you Scottish? I'm Scottish. Well, y'all have come from the same mother and father. I assume you're both Scottish. They would say the Clan MacDonald or Clan McLaren or something like that. They called themselves, that's a clan, means a family. It's not something bad in those days. All your clans of the house of Israel, all the families of the house of Israel, they all go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, they would all be family. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. In other words, why? Now, when you were dating, if we want to remember and if we want to speak of it, that's fine with me. When you were dating, when you broke up, I'm talking about 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 18-year-olds, you say, why? What happened? What's wrong with me? You're expecting them to try to straighten you out or tell you what's wrong. Usually it doesn't happen. That was a rhetorical question right here. What do your people find wrong with me? What have I gave you food, I gave you land, I gave you water, I gave you wars. You won them all. You were very prosperous. What's wrong? And I got to wonder, today, I heard a funny letter read a few minutes ago. And the details is not worth the detailing, but I will give you the summation of it. Somebody wanted a favor, and he thought we would all be happy to do the favor for him because his son was a United Church of Christ preacher. And he was the president of the local ACLU, NCAA. And I guess he thought that was going to influence us. Well, UCM, UCC, whatever it's called, is a very, 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 very liberal group. Some of y'all may know about them. Very liberal group. It's one of those, if you feel good, do it, do what you want to do. There's no rules to it. And he thought that would impress us, is that he was that fine, outstanding liberal leans. Needless to say, Dwight wasn't impressed. And I don't think very many people who heard the letter were either. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt, who led us through the bare wilderness, through the land of the deserts and the rifts, the land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. I brought you out into the fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land. I gave you what you needed. The story that I will never quit telling, that person knows that I'm in church. It's the one that's not knowing that I'm in church. I need a phone call for him. About the famous cookie deal. You all have heard, most of you have heard the famous cookie deal. First week or so we were married. Becky meets me at the door after a day of work with a big old plate of chocolate chip cookies. Was it oatmeal? Oatmeal cookies? Everybody knows my story, yeah. I took the first bite. When I broke it off, I said, these are good, but not the way my sister makes them. 25 years later, for my anniversary, I got those cookies again.
Were they good?
Oh, I loved them. Absolutely were wonderful. Couldn't be beat. Yes, it is. We grow in 25 years. Now, I will give her this credit. She taught our daughter to make the cookies for us. So we still did oatmeal cookies. How come? What now? You don't remember that? Ask Becky if she remembers it. I guarantee she does. What went wrong? Why did you defile me? Why did you not accept my inheritance? The priest did not act, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Everything that God's been against all the time, the idols, that's the whole thing. The idols simply mean, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But they worshiped idols. That, to me, puts in God in front of Jehovah. Small G, God. And I will bring charges against your children's children. Crossed over the coast of Kittim. And look, send to Kedar and observe closely. See if it has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yeah, they are not gods at all. Have we changed our allegiance to our gods? Have we put other things more important than the teaching of the scriptures and the instructions of Jehovah? Chuck?
Well, bigger, broader range of what you can get away with in life. You know, when you worship God, you've got a narrow path you've got to follow.
Absolutely. The old wide is the path that leads to destruction, narrow is the streets that lead to heaven. Yeah. It's exactly what it is. If you make it easy, then anybody can do it. I mean, wouldn't it be nicer if we all just had a printing press at the house and print the money, wouldn't have to go to work? Just roll off a couple 20s and two or three hundreds and call it a day. But that's not what it's all about for us, for most people. You're right. They've replaced what's important. They're not gods at all. He says, but my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. Now, I would say that sounds like somebody that's a little bit upset. And this is God writing. This is Jeremiah is just writing it down. These are God's words for the people, trying to warn the people. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror. Now, there's a whole genre now called horror films. I don't know when the first one ever was. The Isle of Dr. Monroe or Freddy Krueger and all that. I just don't do that. I don't gain anything from it, and I just soon not wake up in nightmares or go to sleep with nightmares or either one. But a lot of people get in that tingling. I mean, the birds, you remember the birds? Not the singing group, but the movie with the chocolate sauce in Norman Bates. What, Bates Motel, was that called? What? Psycho. It was the Bates Hotel. It's like, I mean, that's horror. The cheese, the Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, you're away from my generation. I don't know. And then little dolls that turned furry, but they ate people. I mean, there's a lot of scary stuff. They just, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be involved in that. That's what he's trying to say. The people should be. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of the living water, and have dug up their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Their own cisterns is where they got their supposed water, which is talking about their religion. They made their own rules. They've rewritten the books. Well, I know the Bible says that, but that's so long ago. Have you ever heard that? And it didn't really mean that. That was just for Moses' generation or for Paul's generation. And it's changed so much. And we're not those kind of people anymore. That's doing your own sister, making your own religion. Charles.
We hear that today.
You think? Yeah. We do.
I tell people along with Bible study on Wednesday, I can't do that. You say there still is Bible study?
I'm surprised they didn't say there's still Bibles. You know? Yeah. But you don't need to be apologetic for doing the right thing. And that's what we've got to understand. It is, it's our choice. Any more than you want to condemn them for not being involved, you don't want to let them talk you into not being involved. And that's where we have to go with. That's a good point. Is Israel a servant, a slave by birth? Well, Israel was never a slave by birth. They were slaves because of going to Egypt. But God created them as free individuals. So they put themselves in the slavery to the Palestinians. The big problems back then were Egypt and was Babylon and was the Assyrians. Well, in our own lifetime, have there not been wars in Egypt? Even from the time that Sadat was killed? Has there not been wars in Babylon or that whole area of Iraq? Has there not been problems in Assyria still today? It's really never changed. Those are the headquarters of Satan. Now, for a while, Nineveh got straightened out when Jonah was there, but it didn't last. It didn't last at all because the people's heart was not in God. People's heart was in doing it their own way. Lions have roared. They have growled at him, meaning Israel. They have laid waste his land. His towns are burned and deserted. Also the men of Memphis and Tophanes have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God? Do we ever take the blame for what we've done? Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night with heartburn, you think you're going to blow up? That you knew you shouldn't have ate that fifth and sixth piece of chocolate cake. But it was so good at the time. That a lot of the things happens to us because of us. We should be careful about it. I can drive from here to Orlando on 2 gallons of gas. No sense filling the car up. Surprise. When you don't get up past Tampa. You brought on yourself by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way. Where's the lesson? But God's not here now. Moses doesn't have his staff walking with us. Aaron isn't leading the tabernacle from place to place. We don't have manna on the ground, or quails, or water from the rocks. So how can he apply this to us at all? We've got a lot of other stuff, didn't we? They just had it in a different form, a different way. You forsake God when God was leading you, and you didn't follow him. You know, they spent 38 and a half years in the desert because 10 guys said, we can't do it. 10 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad. 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad, and 2 were good. Yeah. And that few people can lead the destruction of people. We've got to be very careful about that. I tell you what, are we very cautious in who we follow with our daily lives? Who is our leaders? Who is our, I don't want to use the word idol as an American idol or something like that, but who do we look up to? Whose advice do we take? Who do we follow? There's a lot of options. From DiCaprio to every politician that wants to be in charge, there's a lot of options. What do we do? Now, why go to Egypt to drink the water from the Sheol? Why go to Assyria and drink the water from the river? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. You know when you've done it the right way. Ladies, you ever make a recipe or somebody gave you a recipe and it was really, really good? You said, well, that's good, but what about if I put about another half a cup of sugar in it? Or 3 tablespoons extra of vinegar or lemon oil. Lemon juice. And you start piddling with something that at one time worked very well, and now isn't quite as good, because we decided to change it. If you don't believe me, on the way down past whatever, boy, it was bad this morning. Pull your car up there and fill it full of diesel. If you just got a regular gasoline car, fill it full of diesel and I'll see how far you get, how much black smoke comes out. Wasn't the way it was supposed to be. You didn't take advice. We need to be careful. Long ago, you broke off your yoke. You tore off your bonds. You said, I don't serve you. I will not serve you. Indeed, on every hill, under every spreading tree, you lay down as a prostitute. I planted you like a choice vine, a sound and reliable stock. Did anybody ever try to grow grapes on your farm? Tough to do. With grapes, you start off, even the big vineyards, start off with very small plants. It's the root stock. And you start letting it grow. They were talking about the fires in California this year that got in some of the big vineyards. And they said there was a main stock that somebody brought over from Italy like 100, 150 years ago. And it had lived that long and it was producing a lot of shoots. And they would cut it back and replant them going. And this year, the fire got to it and it was destroyed. And we'll change that brand of grapes forever because there's nothing left of it. So you came from good stock. I planted that you're reliable. How then will you turn against me to a corrupt wild vine? Multiple flora rows. Now, if you grew up in a farm, you would know what that is. Multiple flora rows. Chuck, you know what that is? During the Second World War, they told the farmers, we've got something for you because you don't have to plant fences anymore. Multiflora rose. It's a wild rose. But instead of growing couple feet wide like they did. It takes off and runs like kudzu. That word right there. Just grows. You never heard of that either? If you drive through Tennessee, you'll see tall mountains with this green shield growing up on electric lines and everything. It'll grow like nobody's business. Boy, not the one I wanted either. The wild stock grows, and the farmers can't now still have a hard time cutting it back. You got cut, that's kudzu? Much for a rose. Now, that was supposed to be about a foot wide, and it will scar you and cut you all to pieces. All right, put up kudzu and let everybody see what that looks like if they've not experienced that wonderful choice. Huh? I can't spell it. How much? Come on, Tennessee, help me out.
I got it.
Kudzu. Kudja. I thought that was a dog. That's kudos. That's not...
Sorry.
K-O-D-U-S. Just put Tennessee poison ivy. Denise, how is it? K-U-T-U-Z. Try that. W-X-Y-Z. All right. There you go. Blow one of them up real big. Takes over. Usually just smothers the plants. A foot a day? Too bad you couldn't cook it. We had so many dressed for like a foot a day. Well, it did that. A foot a day. Edible. Y'all try it and let me know. Well, we use Randolph, and you can sue Morgan & Morgan because of the Roundup. Where was I at? Just grows on power lines. I had something to say. I forgot what it was. Where did I go? 22? Turn the page. Although you wash yourselves with soda, I didn't know they had soda back then. Use abundance of soap. I didn't know they had soap back then. The strain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord. You can't wash it off. Macbeth, out spot. Was that the whole thing about Macbeth? They imagine that the blood stain for killing his father was always there. That's what this doesn't leave. How can you say I'm not defiled? I have not run after the Baals. See how you behaved at the valley. Consider what you have done. You are a swift she-camel running wild here and there. A wild donkey accustomed to the desert. Sniffing the wind in her craving, her heat, who can resist her? All males will pursue her in need of her need not to tire themselves. At mating time, they will find her. Do not run until your feet are bare. Your throat is dry. But you said, it's no use. I love foreign gods. I love foreign gods. I would sometime like to look up on the internet how many different religions and how many different gods there are proclaimed in this world. We always thought there was just one God, but there's a lot of other people that go a lot of other directions in Him. But you said it's no use. I love foreign gods. I must go after them. As a thief is disgraced when they're caught, so is the house of Israel in disgrace. Now he's not, you know, most prophets sit out of the way, would hit and run, preach, go maybe talk to the king or something, and leave. This guy stood out in the corners. Out in the fields, out on anywhere he could, and preached to them all. He was like a marked man because he told them what they did not want to hear. But with the grace of God and the strength of God, he did not quit doing that. Black ice. Some of you have never seen black ice. Well, you usually don't see black ice. That's why it's black ice. Black ice. To be driving down the road. And usually there's a sign or water, high water, something like that. That's your choice. Keep on barreling through as fast as you want, or slow down and pay attention. And then if you don't slow down and pay attention, and your car spins out, you go over a ditch or something like that, the situation you end up is your own fault. I had my sister 2 weeks ago, they had a big flood in Kentucky. She's riding one of those gators, those big old green things, you know. Not an alligator, but it's a machine. She went too far to the side because she could not see the bridge going over the creek. Went into the water. Had it gone to the left, she would have been about 10 foot deep, strapped in a seatbelt, and drowned. She went to the right, and she only went about 3 foot deep. Now they're trying to get all the water out of the gator. I don't know how that's going to work or not. But she said, I knew better. I just thought I could get by this time. Not. They say to the wood, you are my father. And we're talking about the way they make titles. They say to wood, you are my father. To the stone, you gave me birth. They have turned their backs on me, not their faces. Yet when they are in trouble, they say, come and save us. Isn't that normally how it is? Don't believe until you need something. Don't want help until you're in trouble. It hasn't changed at all, has it? Verse 28. Where then are the gods you have made for yourselves? Let them come and see if they can save you when you're in trouble. For you have many gods, as you have towns, O Judah. Why do you bring charges against me? Now remember, Judah is the tribe of King David and the tribe of Jesus. The ones that should have been blessed the most, or maybe that's why it hurts his feeling the most. I don't know, because they were picked to be special. You bring down charges against me. You have all rebelled against me, declares the Lord. In vain I punish your people. They did not respond to correction. Told you 100 times don't do that. Told you 1,000,000 times don't do that. Do we ever learn? What amazes me, at least on the Fort Myers News, lady caught last week, hit somebody, this, that, and the other. She had been arrested 37 or 38 times for drunk driving. And she's still out driving. Now, whether or not she's got a license, I don't know. And it probably doesn't matter if you're drunk driving 37, 38 times. You probably don't care about it. But she's still doing it. I think it'll give her some time to think about it this time. Or maybe not. Your sword is avowed, your prophets, like a raving lion. They killed a lot of the prophets. I don't like what you say, I'm going to kill you. That happens. I think you probably heard of this guy. It was killed because people don't like what he's saying. Mr. Lincoln. That was an assassination because the group with John Wilkes Booth, etc., didn't like what he was saying. You have to wonder about Kennedy. We just don't know. Some of the other presidents were shot over political deals and some over money deals. Louisiana. Who killed the governor of Louisiana? What was his name? Boss this or? Huey Long, thank you very much. That was a political assassination. Somebody didn't like what he was saying. There's a lot of people that happened to. Does that mean you shouldn't say? I cannot believe that there isn't people around this country, any generation, I'm not talking about just right now with the president we've got, that would like to get rid of the president or Supreme Court or some of the congressmen or some of the senators. There's hatred in people's hearts. We're almost average killing a police officer a week. I think it's, 40, 45 right now? Some of them are just assassinations where they walk up the back of the car and shoot them in the back of the head, not trying to flee or anything, just hatred. World War I was started when Archduke Ferdinand and his wife were killed by Albanians out of just political hatred. So there's a lot of that hatred people do respond about. And so to know that the prophets have been killed is not surprising. Have I been a desert to Israel or a land of great darkness? Why do my people say we are free to roam? We will come to you no more. How many times you talk to myself? Well, I was growed up in church. My mother and my grandparents, they forced me to go to church. I just don't choose to do it now. And some of you know people like that. They just forgot what was important. Does a maiden forget her jewelry, a bride, her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number. How skilled are you at pursuing love? Even the worst of women can learn from your ways. They love the prophets. They seduced the people around them. They were not truthful and fair, is what God is saying. On your clothes, men find the lifeblood of innocent poor. Though you did not catch them breaking in. Yet in spite of all this, you say, I'm innocent. He is not angry with me. But I will pass judgment on you. A day of reckoning will come. If you believe anything of what God is saying, the day of reckoning will come. Short term or long term. Some criminals get away with it all their lives. Some very, very short period of time. Oh, by the way, if you're not a follower of news in Fort Myers, Mark, what's his name, that killed his wife killed, got death penalty. But he's going before the judge in some kind of a ruling to appeal to the judge to have it changed to life in prison. I don't know. I didn't know you could do that. You can in Florida. Why do you go about so much changing your ways? You will be disappointed by Egypt as you were by Assyria. You will also leave that place with your hands on your head. Hands on your head? Prisoners captured like this? For the Lord has rejected those you trust. You will not be helped by them. So there we go. He's simply saying there will be a recompense for what you've done. God keeps up with it. Now, why is he telling him all of this? Just to make him feel bad? I don't think so. Why would he be telling him all this? How often do we respond to fair warning? Not very often at all. Seems like it just speeds them up, Si.
The underlying story, of course, is God doesn't give up. He'll keep giving second chances.
Well, let me follow that up a little bit. Maybe they're expecting God to change. You ever thought about that? You ever try to work your parents down? They say, no, you cannot go to the movie tonight. But Mom, I'll wash the dishes for the rest of your life. Mom, I'll wash the clothes. Mom, I'll grow a garden. It'll be 2 foot tall tomorrow because I'm planting kutso. I mean...
Mom knows better. Mom knows better.
Have you ever given in to Paula? Has her mother ever given in to Paula? You see, that's often what it's all about. Well, God needs to change to allow me to do what I want because I'm more important than anybody else. And don't tell me about the problems. And he's not going to let Israel get away with that. The whole story of salvation is, here's what God, I mean, Sunday morning, that's what we talk about. Here's what God said. Through Jesus, through Paul, through Peter, through John, through Luke. Here's what he says. Basically, it's an a la carte. Take it or leave it. A la carte, take what you want in it. Basically, it's an ultimatum. Take it or leave it. It's all or nothing. And so many people say, well, I like that part, but I don't like this part. Any questions on chapter 2? If a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely defiled? But you have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. And now you return to me, declares the Lord. See, it didn't happen in just this one generation. They've been doing it for decades and centuries. The same thing over and over and over. What is the quote? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Is that how it goes? Well, that's for sure. But I think they thought, well, we just keep doing it and it'll be different this time. We don't have to change anything. Look at...
You're my mother now, saying 10 by 10 years.
And your answer was, I didn't hear that time, mother. I must have been thinking.
Oh, but you had better.
Look up to the barren heights and see. Is there any place where you have not been ravished? By the roadside you sit waiting for lovers. The term here is talking about the other gods. Set like a nomad in the desert. You've defiled the land with your prostitution and weakness. Therefore the showers have been withheld. No spring rains have fallen. Yet you, the brazen look of a prostitute, you refuse to blush with shame. You ever see some people just can't be shamed? You remember shamey, shamey, shamey? You remember that kind of stuff? Some people, it doesn't bother. Do they not have a conscience? They not have a background? They not have a priority at all? It begins to seem like that, doesn't it? And God said, I'll punish you. And the droughts, and many times in the Old Testament, he used droughts to get their attention. Have you not just called to me? My father, my friend, my youth. Will you always be angry? Will your wrath continue forever? This is how you talk. But you do all the evil you can. Tom Jones, I think, sings a song about a snake. The girl goes along and sees a snake, a pretty snake, all colored up and about froze to death, so she takes it inside and warms it up. Comes back that night to find it's healthy. She picks it up to love on it, and it bites her, kills her as she's dying. He says, after all, I'm just a snake. It didn't matter how you treated me. It doesn't matter how you treat those false gods, is what Jeremiah is saying. They're still evil. They're an they cause evil. They're not even an entity at all, but they cause evil. And as Chuck said a while ago, they give people excuses. It's okay. My great-great-grandfather, something was done to them. The federal government did this. The Confederate government did this. The British government did something else. And we find excuses to explain what we did. They're still not a good excuse. Got to be very careful about that. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, this is Jeremiah himself talking, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? Less than 50% of Americans believe in Jehovah God. Less than 50%. We claim we were a nation formed by Christians and of Christians, but I think we've allowed a lot of the Christians to be pushed out and abused and blown away. Have you seen what the faith of Israel has done? She's gone up on every hill. They would go to the top of hills, and then we find widespread trees. And under those trees, they would build their places of sacrifices and their idols. Now, we're not all talking about 9, 10, 20-foot tall idols. Sometimes they're just little bitty figurines. A lot of them have been found in the diggings, particularly in the tombs of the mummies, where they're just hand-carved figurines. The stone ones obviously lasted a lot longer than the wooden ones did. But that's what they would do, their own gods. Matter of fact, if you go all the way back to Esau, Jacob ran out. When he brought back his four wives, Rachel had brought her own family gods back with her. And the father said, I'll have to kill the person or take the person back with me that stole my family gods. And she sat on him and wouldn't let him find them. So that's nothing new for Israel. Even before there was 12 tribes, they were still doing false gods. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of sin in this world. It may have different wrappings. It may have different, you know, they may be using videos or cameras or cell phones, whatever. Sin is still sin. Sin is still sin. We just changed the picture of it. During the reign, he says in verse 6, during the reign of King Joash, the Lord said to me, have you seen the faithless Israel? What would he say about us today? How many people have true faith? Jesus told Simon Peter, get out of the boat and come walk to me. Well, Peter said, I can do it. Until he did it, and he decided he shouldn't do it, or he couldn't do it, and he fell. So he had the faith at first, but he let the circumstances reduce what he could do. How many times have we given up halfway in the middle of the job said, I just can't do this anymore without seeking God's help. Just give up and blow it off. Have you seen the faithless Israel? She's gone on every highest mountain. I thought that after what she had done, all this, I need commas there. She would return to me, but she did not. Her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her credit of certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. So the nation of Israel, he just turned them loose. And we know that because the 10 northern tribes were captured and taken away by the Assyrians. He said, well, maybe if they saw, you know, if they saw what happened to the first group, they would straighten out and get better at it. We don't usually learn by anybody else's example. She defiled the land and committed adultery with the stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. So she pretended she was sad. She had, what do you call them, crocodile tears maybe in her eyes. And the Latin term, mea culpa, I'm sorry. But she wasn't. And she didn't change at all. Because of that, she's not going to be spared either. Matter of fact, the Babylonians are going to be pretty rough on them in this short period. Jeremiah preached, prophesied about 70 years. And he saw Israel fall to the Babylonians. So the time was within his age to see all this destruction happen if people didn't change. And we know from now, looking back, they didn't change. They didn't learn. They didn't get better. The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more than righteous, more than unfaithful. Judah, go and proclaim the message toward the north. Return faithless Israel, declares the Lord. Still wanting them to come back. I will frown on you no more, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever, only acknowledge your guilt. You rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods. Under every spreading tree, you have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. So the question was asked a few minutes ago. Will God take them back? And the answer is, he wants to. He wants to. Jesus said, if there's 99 sheep in the fold, but one got away, go get that other one. And that's what Jesus told them. It's what God was willing to do, but Israel would not accept that gift. And they suffered for it. And so will Judah as well. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. We'll start again with faithless people. It's not that easy to say. Denise. Christmas caroling Monday. What time?
6.
It'd be dark by then.
No,
I see it. And hot chocolate and marshmallows and bring your own gloves.
Oh,
you never went Christmas caroling with hot chocolate when you got back to church?
No.